Don Tenorio turned back from the giant window that constituted the west wall of his office. Out across the lake, the last declining remnants of day showed as a thin band of blood-colored glow behind the western peaks. The light show from Popocatepetl and Istok Seawattle easily outshone them. The crimson fire fountains flung into the face of night by the distant mountains was reflected hellishly in the smooth waters of the lake. Tenorio turned, swirling tequila in his glass.
It is rare that we are privileged to receive visitors from your land. 2 years, I believe, have passed since the last time.
Ryan stood next to a wall-sized shelf of hardcover books, with titles in English, Spanish, and some languages he didn't recognize printed on their spines. He was nigh stunned with fatigue, but his spirit was too restless within him to allow him to sit. Even having seen Christy lay down on clean, crisp sheets in the infirmary of Don Tenorio's headquarters, under the care of staff who had met Mildred's exacting standards, wasn't enough to free him to rest quite yet.
You mean somebody else made it down before us? What with the hot zones and bands of chem storms up north of here, I kind of figured we'd be the first.
Ah, but no, Senor Dix. There have been others in my lifetime, although I have never ascertained whether accounts of visits before my time were mere legend or not. Most of our visitors have, much like yourselves, been interested in exploring the possibilities of trade. Our last set of visitors from El Norte, apparently anticipating that we Mexicano had been reduced to the status of primitives by the war, came among us intending to emulate your long-dead countryman, William Walker. Ah, Doctor, I see you know the name.
I do indeed, Don Tenorio, although he was a bit before my time.
Fortunately between us, Don Hector's people and mine, we were able to frustrate his plans. Ah, Maria, what is it?
A dark, pretty woman dressed in a colorfully embroidered linen dress came into the room. She was tiny, no more than 4 feet tall, though voluptuously built.
La comida está lista, mi señor.
Gracias, Maria. Iremos en un momento. At last our dinner is prepared. My apologies for such delay, for I know you must be famished. Still, it isn't often that I entertain guests so distinguished as yourselves. And so it took my staff, hard-working though they are, extra time to prepare an appropriate repast.
Didn't really need to bother. I'm so red-blasted hungry I could eat the ass end out of a
dead... We're delighted and honored that you've gone to such trouble on our behalf, Don Tenorio. I'm sure the meal will be well worth the wait.
Perhaps because she was every bit as hungry as she had kept J.B. from too graphically describing himself as, Mildred ate the sumptuous meal Don Tenorio had provided, as eagerly as everybody else. Of course, it didn't hurt that the grilled meat, like everything else, was liberally doused in a thick sauce, sufficiently sharpened with chili that other tastes were muted at best. Nor that the room was lit only by candles, well enough to eat by, but not any great aid to identifying what one was eating. Still, it was perhaps just as well for her 20th century sensibilities that nothing obviously discernible as dragonfly eggs was laid out on any of the heavy earthenware dishes set on the expanse of white linen tablecloth. Still, at one point, when she had mostly sated her appetite, Ryan heard her mutter as she studied a chunk of baked flesh impaled on her fork.
Mud puppy, the other white meat.
Don Tenorio's dining hall was another room in the truncated skyscraper he had appropriated as his headquarters, so situated as to look directly south, providing a splendid view of the volcanoes. Popocatepetl was in especially fine form this night, hurling constant arcs of red molten lava, brilliant as filaments in a light bulb. The travelers all marveled that they had not 24 hours before found themselves in the midst of that. They had been describing life in the Deathlands to their host, who was brimming with questions, although he did in fact display a fair degree of knowledge as to conditions there.
We've been wondering why it is that there's so little background radiation hereabouts.
Don Tenorio was taking a swig of cool water, which seemed to be his drink of choice, from a heavy fired clay mug. For such a wizened little guy, he ate and drank with gusto, befitting the fattest sec boss. Maybe his emotional intensity burned it all off.
Perhaps, my friends, you wonder, and are too polite to openly ask, why our once glorious Mexico City, once the most populous on Earth, is such a shattered ruin, without having been bombed as intensively as your great cities in the North. Indeed, The city was not bombed at all, which is the answer to the question you did ask.
The companions were way too seasoned to contradict a baron. Alcalde, his people called him, at his own dinner table, even when as mild-seeming as Tenorio. But they all looked up and around at one another. Even ruby-eyed Jack, who normally could be distracted from feeding by nothing short of immediate mortal peril, glanced up from the leg of something Mildred fervently hoped was chicken he was holding in both hands to tear at with his sharp white teeth.
I see your skepticism, yet I speak the truth. With your indulgence, I will tell you the sad tale of our city's fall.
J.B. waved his own well-gnawed leg of whatever.
Speak your piece, Baron. We're all ears. Well, and gullets.
We were spared direct thermonuclear bombardment during the Great War, as your instruments indicate. But that does not mean we were spared the wrath of the combatants, nor indeed a matanza, a slaughter no less comprehensive in the end than that suffered by many cities reduced to radioactive glass craters. We were not targeted directly because we lacked all significance in the geopolitical sense. To be sure, we had the greatest population of any city in the world. But what of that? We were a neutral country. And while in practical terms, we were friendly with Los Estados Unidos, that fact was of no military consequence. We had no nuclear weapons of our own, nor any force projection capabilities, as the ability to attack others in different parts of the world was then called. We had barely an army, and that was often strained to keep the peace in our own, often unruly states. Now, I take you for scientificos, educated folk. I am sure you know, at least in broad outline, the history of the war itself. Our doom was caused by the Earthshaker nukes the Soviets planted along the eastern arc of the Pacific Rim, the so-called Ring of Fire. The fearful vibrations they created that sank so much of your western seaboard struck terrible harmonics in the ground beneath our feet. This has always been a region of extraordinary seismic activity. Not for nothing have those who dwelled in the Valley of Mexico long called themselves the Sons of Shaking Earth. Destructive, deadly earthquakes were nothing new. Indeed, many of our newer and most imposing structures were built specifically to withstand great earthquakes.
He gestured around with his fork. His headquarters lay near the southern edge of the city, affording a nearly unobstructed view of the lake. Lights shone from the windows of a few buildings looming nearby, candles and torches and lanterns, dim ghosts of the electric starlight that had once illuminated the city's heart. The other skyscrapers were present merely as monolithic shadows, perceptible principally where they blotted out the real stars.
Which is the only reason as many survived as did. Most did not, even of the mightiest structures. There are limits to how strongly we can make a thing, and no matter how powerful our creativity, it seems our ability to destroy is always stronger.
Ain't that the truth?
The people, it is said, were dancing in the streets to the sound of cathedral bells, rung to celebrate our deliverance from the bombing, when the first great tremor hit. Tens of thousands died in the space of a few minutes, as giant buildings were thrown down on their very heads.
And let me guess, they turned out to be the lucky ones.
You are very wise. For while they died screaming, they died almost upon the instant. Not so the ones lay next when the great volcanoes exploded. Just as no quake in our recorded history compared to those that struck wave after horrible wave on that terrible day, neither did any volcanic eruption compare to what happened then. Popocatepetl and Iztaccíhuatl each lost over 1,000 feet of height in one huge belch. Huge clouds of superheated gas and incandescent ash rolled out in tides of death across the valley. They didn't reach so far as the heart of the capital itself, although the suburbs were stricken, like Pompeii of legendary times. But the great city was not spared a blizzard of gray ash, falling to a depth to cover cars parked or wrecked in the streets, higher than the tallest man's head. Those who had been outside, or had been driven forth by the collapse of the buildings they had occupied, drowned in a sea of choking, stinging ash. The shocks, the eruptions, the rains of ash continued, not for days or weeks, but for years, all throughout Skydark and beyond. Yet in the end, they proved not the worst of our tribulations. Oh no.
He shook his head in sorrow.
If I might venture a guess, a couple of the four horsemen had yet to visit you.
Precisely so, Doctor. Although in truth our people, such as survived the shaking and the suffocating clouds, were mostly spared the lingering death of famine, only because pestilence struck them down before they could starve. Undoubtedly you know from your own history, if not your own experiences, how tenacious human life is. Even the greatest and most comprehensive disaster will generally leave survivors in its wake. And however wretched or reduced they are, they proceed with their lives, create a daily routine that is tolerable to them. Such literally is life. But the plagues that followed the tremors and eruptions were so vicious and swift that they literally cleansed the rubble of survivors. Most of our current scholars believe that within 2 months, no humans remained alive in what had been the largest collection of humanity in our history. In fact, they now debate whether the plagues were altogether natural or whether they were some kind of biological warfare organisms unleashed upon us incidentally as what was called in those days collateral damage, or whether some force hostile to us, perhaps domestic terrorists, struck at us in our time of greatest vulnerability. However it happened, our mighty city was destroyed and purged of life. And so it remained for most of a century.
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.